All right, it's time to heal the love divide between men and women. I'm going to make this a relatively short talk, but after it, you will open your heart wide to the skies above of love. So this resentment that women have is, say, well, we were excluded from certain fields in the past. Okay, so we made a bargain, men and women, unconsciously, but it's kind of how evolution and selection works. So we made a bargain, and we said, we're going all in on the brain. We're not going to develop armor. We're not going to develop big claws. We're not going to develop giant teeth. We're going all in on the brain, and that's what we gambled. Right? As a species, we said we're going to go all in on the brain. But that which is the most complex takes the longest to develop. So what we did was we said, we're going to delay the development of human beings to the point where we get these big giant brains. This is why babies are born helpless and don't even walk for the first year. Other mammals can walk right away within a day or two, maybe a week or two, but we don't even walk until we're a year old. In other words, the first year of life is sometimes called the fourth trimester because basically babies get born right before they split women in two because of the giant brains. So we gambled everything on our brain. I would say, given that this conversation is able to occur and all the wonderful things that we have developed from our brains, it was a pretty good deal. But it comes at costs, of course. So one of the biggest costs from developing the giant brain, which was the deal that men and women made with each other, is that women are largely disabled through having children, recovering from childbirth, breastfeeding, and raising kids, because, you know, the little toddlers are kind of death magnets, particularly in a harsher, more dangerous world. And of course, particularly when half of children died before the age of five, and 1-2% of women died from each child being born, each childbirth, right? Which accumulated, of course, over the course of a lifetime. And then just as women hit menopause, or their fertility drops off a cliff after the age of 40, is right about the time that they can invest in grandchildren, which of course have a quarter of their genes as well. So women were basically having and raising children from their teens until they got very old. That was the deal. Men, on the other hand, had to hunt like crazy, more so than most animals, because we have this giant brain, which is like 2% of our body mass, but like 10-20% of our energy consumption. So we need a lot of fuel to keep the giant brain going, which means that men had to work very hard hunting. And when we got into our careers historically, so I'm thinking the Middle Ages, you know, logging and stone cutting and other forms of building, well, fatality rates were enormous. In fact, men were 2-3 times more likely to die, not from war, but just from hunting and other kinds of industrial accidents. Men were 2-3 times more likely to die from just working and hunting and building than women were to die of childbirth. So it was just the deal that sucked for everyone. It was a deal that was, except of course, it got us this big, giant, magnificent brain, singular among creation, that should be used for more than complaining about the choices necessary to create it, right? We should do more with our brain than say, well, we've developed this big giant brain. It's able to conceptualize and compare proposed actions to ideal standards and come up with sonnets and poems and songs and literature and science. And we should use it for more than complaining about the horrible furnace in which our brains were created, which was women focusing on having and raising children and men focusing on feeding the giant brain requirements to the point where a lot of women died in childbirth and 2-3 times more men, even outside of war, died in providing for their families. And if you throw war in, it gets even worse. So it sucked in general for everyone throughout human history. So why were women excluded from particular fields? Well, men have to operate on a raw meritocracy. If you're the guy with, you know, the dead eye and the flawless arm, and you're like the pitcher of spears par excellence, then you're the guy who gets the spear. It's a limited number of spears, and you've got to have the best guy throw the spear, because if you miss, the animal startles and runs away and so on, right? So the best dead eye dick has to get the spear. It's a raw meritocracy. You don't give it to, you know, roomy, squinty-eyed 70-year-old Bob. You give it to, you know, dead-eyed, perfect aim, dead-eyed Dick, right? So you need a raw meritocracy for men. Otherwise, it doesn't survive. The guy who's best at making the swords is the guy who has to make the swords, because you don't want your sword breaking the first time you try and hit someone over the head with it. So the guy who's best at making fences makes the fences, otherwise the animals get away. So you just need a raw meritocracy on the male side. On the female side, what do women do? Well, women have to equalize the food consumption between their children. Let's say the woman lays out a whole bunch of food, and a 15-year-old, a 10-year-old, and a 5-year-old are all just given free rein to get whatever they want. Well, the 15-year-old is going to take most of the food. The 10-year-old is going to take a lesser amount of food because he's elbowed aside by the 15-year-old. And the 5-year-old gets virtually nothing, which means that the 5-year-old is less likely to survive because he's less energy to fuel his immune system, less energy for less consumption. So what do women have to do? Women have to forcibly take resources from the older children and make sure the younger children have enough. That distribution should undo excess, and each man, each boy, each girl have enough. That's what women do. That's what their instinct is. And it's a beautiful thing. It's why we're all here, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that men take on a lot of dangerous labor, women take on their dangerous labor, which is childbirth. Men operate on a raw meritocracy. And women operate on forced redistribution of resources. So when women see a child who has too much, takes and has to use force, if necessary, to take the resources from the child who has too much and give it to the child who has less. Women, of course, need to take resources from themselves in excess of what they need when they're breastfeeding and big with child, because they need to provide the extra calories to the fetus and then to the baby through breastfeeding. So when men have a lot of power, they work to create a raw meritocracy called the free market. And then charity is held and performed usually by the women. It's a beautiful thing. The free market generates the resources. The women voluntarily through charity redistribute the resources, and the men make sure that the redistribution is not exploited by people, oh, I can't work, pretending to be ill, and so on, right? You keep resources away from people making bad decisions who have the capacity to make better decisions, and you give resources to people who, largely through no fault of their own, are disabled or, you know, not able to provide for their own resources, but not through malingering and not through manipulation, but through genuine wrong, which needs a certain amount of intimate knowledge of people, which women in a community have, and that's why that sort of works. So when men get power, we like free speech, because we're going to constantly argue about the best way to do things, because that's how we figure out the best way to do things. We want free markets, because raw meritocracy is how society functions and thrives. When women get political power, their instinct is to use coercion to redistribute resources from the more able to the less able, because they're programmed to deal with children throughout almost all of their evolution. So when women get political power, which they do in general when their vote is universalized, because women vote more, live longer, and so on, then women use the state to force redistribute resources from the more able to the less able. This is why when women vote, you get the welfare state, you get old age pensions, you get unemployment insurance, all of these sorts of things, because women's instinct is to use force to redistribute resources, because they're designed to deal with children for the most part. And men's instinct is to have, you know, free speech, argumentation, raw meritocracy, focus on facts, not feelings. And that's what men do. And again, the combination of the two, we keep looking at these things like one is right and one is wrong. Now, the use of force is wrong, and the use of force to redistribute resources among adults, right, is wrong. And this is why women are so susceptible to things like the marginalized, the vulnerable, the excluded, right? They have this sort of, oh, the lonely child who's not getting resources, we have to give that child resources because otherwise the child's going to die. And whether it's my child or another child in the tribe, it's what we need, because to invest that amount of energy into a child, have the child die, is a wretched waste and is heartbreaking and all of that. So it's not like either one is right or wrong. The application of force makes it all wrong, but men's instincts for vociferous, argumentative free speech and a raw meritocracy called the free market is a beautiful thing. Women's desire to take care of the vulnerable is a beautiful thing. Now, adding politics in the mix makes it terrible all around. But this is why, say, well, why weren't women out there hunting? It's like, because if women were out there hunting, they weren't having and raising children, which meant that the tribe declined and died off. If women were out there hunting, well, they can't throw as far, they can't throw as strongly, and so the animals get spooked and the calorie consumption collapses and everyone gets sick or dies or gets taken over or something like that. So it wasn't like men woke up every morning like, wah-ha-ha, rubbing their little invisible mustaches and saying, ah, how can we possibly benefit our frail, fragile male egos by crushing women underfoot? No, no, no. It was a team effort. It was a team effort to produce the most magnificent thing in the known universe, which is the human mind. And yes, that meant keeping women away from the meritocracy, and it meant keeping men away from the forced egalitarianism that characterizes the most successful way to raise children. Men died by the bucket load. Women died a little bit less, maybe half as much, sometimes a third as much. And it was brutal for everyone. And all of the sophists out there trying to sow division, hatred, discord, and so on, it's wretched. It's civilizational ending. It destroys our capacity to pair bond, to love, to respect. You know, I love what women have done with the world. I really do. I love what women do in my household. I live with two lovely females who make this place a paradise, so I'm not sleeping on my old broken futon when I was a single guy and watching a TV propped up on the cardboard box it came in. So it's a beautiful thing. What women do is wonderful. Women's charity, women's community, all of that stuff is beautiful. What men do is beautiful and magnificent and wonderful. Like the free speech argumentation that improves human thought and tries to find the best solutions, which again, there's lots of overlaps. Women participate in that and men participate in charity. We're just talking about general trends and they're overlapping bell curves, but we're talking about in general. So what men do is beautiful in the creation of wealth and the raw meritocracy. What women do is beautiful in the egalitarianism and the taking care of the less fortunate. It should all be voluntary. It's the addition of politics that makes it so bad. But my beg and my plea to you, my friends, is to do the following. We have the greatest, glorious, most glorious, beautiful gift in the known universe, which is our human minds. If we use it to appreciate, to thank, to respect, to enjoy the horrible furnaces that produce this human mind, this great glory of existence called the human brain, if we use it for gratitude, that's love. That's pair bonding. That's connection. Men, we should love what women provide and recognize that corruption, which is largely focused on women, political corruption largely focused on women because they tend to score higher in the trait agreeableness. So women are heavily propagandized and men are kind of tossed to the side until we're needed for war. So recognize that the problem is politics. The problem is the initiation of the use of force that characterizes political systems and that we're all corrupted by power. And men can also be corrupted by lust and greed and envy, and women can be corrupted by vanity and lots of things. And sophists are out there constantly trying to corrupt us. So what I'm saying is for men, look at women as the beautiful creatures that they are that are responsible for the foundation of our giant brains. They go through a lot to produce them, trust me. And women look at men as, you know, we're beautiful creatures. We love to provide and protect, and we should really genuinely appreciate and love each other. And if you can achieve that place of massive gratitude of men for the female, a massive gratitude of women for the male, then you enter into the most beautiful stained glass cathedral of human existence, which is pair-bonded romantic love. And the sophists are keeping you from that beautiful cathedral through resentment. And I would invite you to let go of the resentment, appreciate everything that got us here, and love, love, love. Thank you.